Wendy, look who is bound into our studio.
This sounds like a crying pterodactyl, does it not?
Oh, a little bit. A little bit. Jimmy, you didn't pick this music, did you? Oh, you chose this?
Because why?
What does this represent to you?
I love the dinosaurs.
Are you a fan of dinosaurs?
You know that. You know, I've always been a big fan of
dinosaurs.
I knew
as a child you liked dinosaurs, but even as an adult.
Oh, it continues into my adult life, yeah.
Really? What's your favorite
dinosaur? The brontosaurus.
What a work of art.
Well, it's elegant. It's got that majestic.
Very sleek.
Yeah.
And a plant eater, so it wouldn't eat you.
Exactly, right? It just looks at me as a friend, and then we we enjoy the foliage together.
You pet it nicely.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. It's the last dinosaur. Wasn't that a brontosaurus in that movie?
I think it was.
That's for children.
That's all right. You're allowed to see children.
We didn't see that movie. My son even looked and went, no way. Looks boring. I think that was when he was like six or something.
The last dinosaur he refused to see.
Yeah.
That's curious.
He runs a tight ship.
That's very strange.
Yes.
Jimmy Pardo, it says here, Jimmy, you're a comedian and an actor.
Sure.
You're both.
Well, I won, maybe.
Which one are you today?
We'll
know by the end.
I'm acting as a comedian, so I guess I am doing both.
You're doing both.
Yeah.
Appearing at Rosemont, at the Zanies in Rosemont, and the tour has a strange name.
Yeah.
The Hardcastle Tour, 19, more than happy to do it. What is the meaning of that?
Well, Paul Hardcastle had that song, 19.
Oh, right.
So whenever somebody says 19 to me, I go, the Hardcastle.
Oh.
And so I did a contest on my podcast, the award-winning Never Not Funny, to name my 19 tour, and everybody's like, well, how do you not call it the Hardcastle?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, out of the thousands of entries, 999 said you're an idiot if you don't call it that.
Really?
So I went with that, and then I always say more than happy to do it about anything.
Yeah.
You know, more than happy to do it. So that was, like, kind of the subtitle of it.
Is this
there
it?
There it is.
Listen to this beautiful song.
Yeah, beautiful song about the average age of the Vietnam soldier being 19.
I forgot about that song.
It's a great song.
It is.
I thought you were going with Hardcastle and McCormick.
No.
Didn't you, Wendy, a little bit?
I got to be honest
cop
with you.
Show.
Wait, who was the actor? That wasn't...
You can do this.
No, I can't. We literally just talked about them on my show. It's not Jill St. John as Hard... Who's who?
Yeah,
Hardcastle
and McCormick.
I don't remember that either. Bill's sitting there with the information.
All right, well, just give it to us, Bill. I mean, this is you.
I'm going to say Brian Keith.
Oh, yes.
Brian Keith is not Hardcastle and McCormick.
He's one of them.
No, he's not. Brian Keith from Family Affair?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
I think so. I refuse to believe that.
Yes, no, he was.
So, I refuse to believe it.
If only there was some sort of electronic machine.
Well, she's in here taking a picture, so that's not going to help us at all.
That's Jasmine, our producer.
I know
it's
who
not
Jasmine
me.
Is.
I also think there's an actor who was in Ryan's Hope named Frank somebody was in it, too, I think.
Jasmine, I wasn't really yelling at you. I want to be very clear on the ear.
That's just
Jasmine,
how he rolls.
We warned Jasmine. When Jimmy comes in, there's going to be some hostility.
Sure, there always is.
We told her that right off the bat.
Sure. Now, she grew up in Homewood Flossmore with our buddy Paul Gilmartin.
Right.
Not at the same time.
We just talked about him.
Yeah, and if I can circle back to that, never would I tell a guy with his arm around me how much I made at a comedy. Like, hey, what do you guys make? A lot of not of your business?
What
how about
do you
that?
Make of that situation? Because it all happened in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
He bear hugged both of us. He put his arms around both of us and then asked, and I avoided it, and Paul just flat out said how much he made that week.
But that's Paul.
And then he sent him his tax returns from the last 3 years.
Well, I think any responsible politician would.
Probably should.
So, that's right. Paul's running for
office
of most pompous, I believe. He's one of my best friends in the world.
The pompous party?
Oh, my God. That's him. There's not a bigger windbag in the world. You know the great story about, Paul was talking about Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And he's like, regaling about Bill Gates and blah, 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 Bill Gates and Bill Gates, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And then somebody at the table, I think it was Pete Schwab, our friend Pete Schwab, goes, man, how do you get so smart? Talking about Bill Gates. And Paul goes, well, you read every day. And we go, we're not talking about you, jackass.
Mitch Gates.
Yeah. Talking about Bill Gates, not you reading an article in People magazine. Yeah. He's.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Brian Keith was Milton C. Hardcastle.
He
by
was.
The way.
He that
was.
All I can
Brian
do is apologize.
Keith, you owe me $50.
That was never said.
I thought we said that.
All right. I'll pay it up. I'll pay it in cash.
Give me the 50. I want the
I'm going to give it you two fives and two 20s.
You know what? Give that money to the kids. That's from me for the kids. I used to get to see you at this time every year because you and I were in the same fantasy baseball league and we would meet in Las Vegas.
That's right.
It was insanely fun.
That's why I'm in town. I'm actually in town. Our fantasy baseball draft is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm only working at Zany's last night and tonight, not doing a Saturday show. Because I'm at my fantasy baseball draft tomorrow.
What's fun about you in Las Vegas is you just flat out, you just do not gamble, despite the fact that Las Vegas is a town sort of known for their gambling.
It's known for the gambling and debauchery. Yeah. You know, the very first week I ever worked, I was at the Improv at Harrah's, 1996. I never worked Vegas before, and I was there. And the very first day, I won a ton of money playing blackjack. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, I lost all that money playing blackjack.
And then some, probably.
And then I spent the rest of the week chasing the dragon, and I lost my entire paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
And then drove home, that was a big waste. And so then I decided I'm never going to gamble when I go there.
Let me throw a theory at you. Tell me if you think this could possibly be true.
Okay.
People told me this, and I don't believe it, but it could be true that Las Vegas has a way of knowing that it's your first time in Las Vegas, and somehow you always win on that first time, and then every other time you go there, you don't.
I think that the pit bosses certainly
they're onto that.
And they go, we got a virgin here. And
how do they know?
They don't, Wendy.
Oh, okay.
Why do you fall for everything he says?
Because my middle name is Gullible.
But you've been with him now for almost 20 years, you two of you have been together.
More than 20.
And, well, it seems like 20. It's flying by. And you still haven't caught on to his nonsense.
You don't know me as well as you know Bill, because you guys went to school together. I believe everything.
Right, but at some point, you've got to go.
That's what makes Wendy endearing to everybody.
That's the only reason Bill works with me, is because I fall for everything he
right.
does.
I'm not under contract. I just keep showing up. What do you remember most from our grade school and our high school? What when you look back on those days, what is
Well, I wasn't
memory?
With you in grade school. I was grade school. I grew up in hometown Illinois.
But in high school, we got to be friends.
What do I remember in high school? Boy, oh boy. Positive things?
Were you guys in any clubs?
No. He was, Bill's slightly older than I am.
A year older.
Okay, if that's what you want to lie about. I want to say you're 2 years older.
Am I 2 years older?
I think so. Yeah. I think, do you say when you graduated, or is it like a guy at
their
show?
I think I'm 2 years older, but I'm one grade ahead of you,
God,
I think.
Because he skipped kindergarten.
I think you graduated in 82.
No, 81.
Wow. Yeah. Then you're older than me, even more so.
More?
Is that a good sentence? Anybody happy with that as broadcasters?
I'm okay with it to say he's older, because I'm 6 months older than him. And
wait, you're older than Bill Leff?
Yeah.
By 6 months.
I never would have thought that.
Practically a generation different.
Shut up.
What do I remember? Just, I don't know, trying to fit in.
Was it mostly a happy experience for you?
No.
It wasn't.
No. I enjoyed your company immensely.
Yeah.
Your brothers, mutually, to a lesser extent.
Although you began friends with his brother Adam, correct?
Well, because we were in the same grade.
And but then I stole you away.
And rightfully so.
I did.
Sharper. CRISPR with the comedy.
Thank you.
So I drifted your direction.
You guys are so mean. I'm surprised.
Thank you.
No wonder you're friends, actually.
My brother remembers it differently.
How does he remember?
Jimmy and I were very close, and then something happened, and I don't know what it was. And what it was I stole you away.
That's really what it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're proud of that? You're admitting that?
Yeah.
Well, Adam also hung out with a group of guys that I didn't really hang out with and wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, that was also part of it.
Teamsters. He was in high school, but all of his friends were Teamsters.
All union. It was all union guys. I didn't want to get my neck broken.
Right. A lot of pipe fitters.
You cross a line to go to the Leff's house. That's a risk.
Yep. Yeah.
So neither of you were in clubs? You weren't in sports or?
Yeah, I was.
And you were in theater. Yeah. You were on tennis. I was on golf. You know,
the Viking sports, sports that Norsemen would take on.
You know, the two sports that meant that we didn't hang around with the cool kids. I think Bill and I were kind of the two. We were the funny guys, so I think that the burnouts and the jocks, everybody kind of liked us.
Yeah.
Because we kind of fit in everywhere.
Yeah.
That's called a frock. When we went to high school, you're part freak, part jock. You got along with everybody.
I didn't sit, everyone in the lunchroom kind of sat at the same place all the time, and I didn't do that. I sat with different groups every day.
Did you really?
Because I thought that would be better for me to get to know everybody differently.
Oh. Are you running for office?
Yeah, no kidding. What are you doing? That seems awful. What are you doing? Pick a spot and sit and eat your sandwich. What the hell are you doing? It's the worst.
You don't see any merit in that at all.
I actually do in retrospect as an adult. But I was just so grateful. Here's a true story. I sat down to lunch. My lunch hour got changed. And my buddy, Paul Boyev, who I was in a band with in high school, he said, sit with us. And one guy there didn't want me to sit with them. And then they held a vote.
Oh, God.
What? By ballot on whether I should sit there. And the vote was 4-1. Guess which guy didn't want me? The guy that wanted the vote. So then he ended up leaving the table because he couldn't believe everybody else wanted me to sit there.
When you succeed in something now, do you think about that instance? Do you go, I hope that guy knows?
Every day. Every single day.
Jimmy Pardo is at Zanies in Rosemont. You want to go to zanies.com, rosemont.zanies.com for all your ticket information. Always fun to watch Jimmy Pardo perform. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking with Jimmy Pardo, who will be... Where are you going to be? At Zany's in Rosemont.
That's right.
Just tonight?
That's tonight. 8 and 10:30, I want to say, if I'm getting those show times.
Yes, you are. You can go to rosemont.zanies.com to get tickets.
Okay.
How do you think... I know you're a huge White Sox fan, Jimmy. How do you think the White Sox will fare this season? Uh-oh. That didn't sound encouraging. Rebuilding. They're rebuilding.
I'm this idiot that goes in every year thinking we got a chance, and then, you know, by week three, we don't.
But you still are hopeful, aren't you?
I am.
Still enjoy
it. Don't you have to be?
Yeah.
Like, you know, otherwise, like, what's the... And I think Jason Benetti is, like...
He's so good,
isn't
he?
So phenomenal.
He is.
And funny and a nice man.
Yeah.
So he and Steve Stone make it worth watching even when, you know, they're getting killed. So...
You have thrown out the first pitch.
Yes.
At White Sox Park.
Yeah.
Do you get a little nervous when you do that?
Well, I didn't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
But Ed Farmer,
love him.
When he took a breath to talk about something else other than his surgery, he...
Again, they're on our station because we are the White Sox station.
Ed's very aware of my thoughts. And these are the thoughts of Jimmy Pardo, not of those of Bill and Wendy or WGN. He gave me the greatest advice. I mean, that's
what did he say?
He said, because they introduced me to him up in the booth. They said, "This is Jimmy Pardo. He's here from Conan. He's going to be throwing out the first pitch." And he goes, "It's the first toss. Think of it as the first toss. Everybody tries to throw a pitch. Pretend you're playing catch with your dad. You play catch with your dad, you're never going to miss.
Right.
But if you try to throw a strike, you're going to miss.
It's good advice.
And sure enough, like that, and then that I got out of my head.
Yeah.
And it was like, so I do thank Ed Farmer for all my, you know, chop busting I do on Ed Farmer. I loved Ed Farmer when he was with John Rooney. I thought the two of them were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right.
And you read into that any way you want.
Oh, all right.
A friend of mine has texted Jimmy Pardo, the co-star with Steve Segrin in the short film Some Kind of Joke.
I was in a short film that Steve Segrin and Al Alter did. Al Alter directed it, called Some Kind of Joke. I want to say 20 years ago. Was that short film?
And it was all the jokes, if I remember right, that you would normally hear in a bar, but kind of acted out.
Yeah, kind of acted out.
Scene.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. This is the I forget what it's called, the bar joke or something.
Right.
And that's the guy that walks into a bar. And,
yeah.
And then that's the guy that plays the smallest piano. That's the guy that does knock knock. Like, it was all that.
Yeah.
And I forget who I was. I forget my role in that.
Johnny, who's there?
Is that right?
That's what it says on IMDb.
Okay, well, all I can do is believe that.
2000 was when it came out.
All right, so close to 20 years ago. Yeah. I wasn't that far off.
How much time did you spend working on Conan O'Brien's show?
I was there from 2009 to was 7.5 years, roughly.
You were there during the transition.
Yes.
Where it was the 10:30 slot on the Tonight Show, right?
Yes.
Do you harbor any ill will toward Jay Leno for making a decision that he wanted to come back to late night TV?
What do you, okay.
A little bit?
Is he also on the channel?
Yes.
Am I allowed to? No, horrible.
Conan got screwed.
He's horrible. Get out of there.
Yeah.
David Letterman said it best. It's like, you want to hurt somebody, go across the street and put them out of business. Don't wait around in the lobby hoping they give you your job back. And that's right. What Jay did. Man, I'm still here if you need me. Yeah, these headlines are going to read themselves. I mean, you guys, you know, I'll take the job back. Who says that? Who goes on interviews and goes, if they get rid of Conan, I'll take it back? Be a man. Move on.
Right.
You got 9,000 cars. Go grease them up. Go inflate the tires. What are you doing?
Did you see John Oliver take some swipes at him?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Boy, is that a great show. How great is that John Oliver show?
Really funny.
Really
very,
great.
Very, very, very funny. For a while, Jay Leno was considered one of the best stand-up comics
no
in
question.
The country.
One of our heroes.
He absolutely was.
Yeah.
And then there was a fall from grace, wasn't there?
There was. And then when you look, like, we're watching the, what the heck are we watching on television, my wife
Hardcastle
and I?
Hardcastle and McCormick?
No, it's something more current than that.
That was a pretty good guess.
It wasn't a bad guess.
It was a bad guess.
But they were showing clips from the Leno era. Oh, is it Monica Lewinsky when she was on with John Oliver?
Yeah.
And showing the clips about, and like, how... just kind of awful he was.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Like, those jokes are awful. Like, just hurtful.
Well, they have asked him, he's been on kind of a tour lately, because somebody asked him the question about how politics and comedy are meshing or not meshing
right.
today. And he said, I like the old days when it wasn't, comedy wasn't so political. Cut to scene after scene after scene of him doing political comedy.
Right. and kind of lowest common denominator, hurtful.
Yeah, it was.
Comedy, like not even anything clever, in my opinion.
Right.
So you both say he was a great stand-up.
He was phenomenal.
So what happened when he became host? Was he just playing it safe? Was it? Was he conforming?
I think
to
so.
What,
and that's and here, because here's what I hear. I hear that when he goes to the Comedy Magic Club, or if you go see him in a theater, he's still a phenomenal stand-up. That's what. That's what everybody's like. Oh, you got to see Jay at the Comedy Magic Club. He's the Jay you remember.
Right.
And I don't know if I could be in the same room because I think
really?
He knows my.
Your
my
feelings,
thoughts. I'm a little. I'm outspoken.
I had
you
seen
are?
Him perform
about that.
Yeah,
and apparently Ed Farmer. Poor Ed. I don't know why I took Ed down for humor. Just for humor.
He gave you great advice. So
he gave me the best advice and made me look amazing.
But to put a positive spin on you, Jimmy, you're the one guy. Anytime we talk about Kevin Hart, your name comes up because Wendy always says, "But people you know and love, aka you, say really nice things about Kevin Hart."
But Bill still hates him.
I can't.
Here's what I've said about Bill.
You don't hate him.
Kevin's he's a great guest on Conan. That's I don't know anything else about the guy.
Yeah.
Except for when he comes on, he was a great guest.
Yeah.
And he seemed to be a pleasant man.
Right.
I think.
So what is it? Are you just jealous?
Yes.
Okay.
What are you jealous of?
He's
jealous.
Not.
His shirtless video.
He just doesn't find him funny.
It's one of those things, you know how like everyone in the world can love something and then they go, you got it, this cotton candy is so good. Try this cotton candy and you go, it's okay. And people go, what's wrong with you? Okay. It's the best cotton candy
you
in
like
the world.
Being a contrarian though.
No.
No,
quite
he goes from table to table at the cafeteria.
Not now. He did in high school.
Okay. Times have changed.
By today's standards.
Now you sit in the corner. Oh, there's Bill. Don't bother him. He just likes to sit with others during lunch. That's his quiet time. Eating your sad tuna.
The guy with the panini, don't talk to Bill. He doesn't have time for you. No, absolutely not.
Do they still call you sad tuna?
That's still my nickname.
That's good. Yeah. Good. That's
do
too
we
close.
Want to take a call from someone who said he used to do comedy with you?
Okay.
Does this make you nervous?
I'm curious as to who it is.
Jimmy, that's the definition of exuberant, the way you just answered that. Do you want to take a call, Jim?
Okay.
All right, if you
all
have
right.
to.
All right, go ahead, listener. Who is this?
Hi, this is Mike Gandy. It wasn't, well, it was kind of comedy that we did when we were doing theater together, but it wasn't really comedy.
Mike, are you in a well? I'm very concerned as to where you're calling us from, Mike. Are you calling for help?
Yes.
You have to know you're on the worst cell phone in the history of cell phones.
Well, you know, listen, I'm not making the big money you're making, pal. You know, we're just still doing community theater out here in Tinley Park.
I know. Listen, Mike Gandy and I did some community theater in Tinley Park.
What were the shows?
We did, was it, what did we do? Not Come Blow Your Horn. What was the thing that
we did?
We did
Come Blow
Your Horn.
Oh.
And then we did Bleacher Bums together.
Send Me No Flowers.
Send Me No Flowers. We did a bunch, Mike. Mike's a very talented actor who chose to have a family on the South Side instead of pursue his dream. I mean that in a complimentary.
No, that's a nice
thing. He chose to.
Yeah. Are you going to see Jimmy and Rosemont, Mike?
Of course I am.
Excellent.
Oh, all right. We'll see you tonight. Mike is, by the way, about a foot and a half taller than me.
Oh.
And we used to go golfing with my dad all the time, and it would be very awkward to then take that group photo afterwards. And then, here's Mike Gandy, then me.
Sure.
My dad is a normal height, and then whoever the fourth guy that was with us
like
is also normal height.
The three stages of man.
Yeah.
One photograph.
I was the child.
Yeah, I think I wanted to take some of the credit for Jim actually finding out that, hey, you know, I got to do better than what we're doing out here in the community theater. And couldn't be happier for Jim and all the success that he's had over the years and the hard work that he's put in. I know that, a lot of times people just look at, what he's doing right now and not what everybody goes through to get to the point where everybody's at. So kudos to you, Jimmy. Love you. We had a great time doing the theater shows together, and I'm still doing it. Listen, I've got another play coming up. In fact, we are doing Come Blow Your Horn, and I want you to come back and reprise your role.
You got to do it, Jimmy. Right,
well, I got to tell you, my price has gone up since then, Mike. It's gonna set you back a little bit. You guys might not make any money at the box office.
Mike, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Mike, thank you so much for the nice words, too. Mike was, honest to God, I mean, a great guy. We did nothing but laugh.
For a call that you did not want to take, that was inspirational, and a lot of texters are saying that they are now weeping.
Oh, well, that makes sense. That was very, I almost got wept.
Emotional.
That was very emotional.
That was really sweet.
What a great guy. And I don't know if he had a beautiful wife, and he's got a couple great kids. And
they live in a well.
And that's agree, right?
Odd.
That was an awful sounding call.
Right. Well, they haven't perfected the cell phone yet. They're still working on it.
Well, it's not made for calls.
No, it's
I think that's the problem,
made
right?
For photography.
Photography.
Stuff. Yeah, that's what
right.
you use
games,
it for.
Games, applications.
And I love this text. Is Jimmy Pardo related to Don Pardo?
Okay, can you tell that person to unfollow? That's the best way to handle that. You get asked that a hundred times.
You
know, not as much anymore because, like, that generation, no offense to this person, is moving on. They don't really know Don Pardo.
You don't have to name names. Actually, don't name names.
Okay.
Didn't you once do a radio show here in Chicago where they had you on, and upon the host learning that you're not Don Pardo or related to, you were then dismissed from the show?
His bit was that I was not related to Don Pardo, and the bit went on. It may still be going on. Like, he didn't ever give up the gag that he thought I was Don Pardo or whatever.
That's funny stuff.
He was off the air for a while, and he's back now. That helps you figure out who that person is.
Why'd you do that show?
You know, I was doing a press junket for my game show. So it's like where you sit there at a phone and you call 100 radio stations a day.
And you have to put the junket every once in a while.
Yeah. And I didn't want to do that one. And I was like, I don't want to do it. And they're like, come on. At the time, I think it was a huge show here in town, right? And I was like, all right, I'll do it, but I think it's going to go poorly. And a second in, I'm flipping off the person next to me going, I warned you. I told you it was going to be this bad. Yeah, that guy's awful. I saw his billboard as I was driving in.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jimmy, so good to see you.
My pleasure.
I love when you come up.
Yeah. I do, too. Too quick, guys. Too fast.
Come back soon.
Okay.
We'll fly you in.
Okay. Well, I'll come back for that Come Blow Your Horn. So I'm, whenever, what do you need me? I have to come on to promote that.
Coming up in June.
I'm not really, Wendy.
And after you pick a good team on your fantasy baseball, maybe, you know, for the ceremonies when you win money,
maybe
you'll come back into town for that.
We weren't happy to do it.
All right.
We weren't happy to do it. That's perfect.
Okay.
I won't win, but okay.
Go see Jimmy Pardo, would you? He's at Rosemont, at Zanies in Rosemont. His podcast, Never Not Funny, one of the best podcasts, and his website's jimmypardo.com. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, guys.
More
coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.